message tonight, and we will be in Luke chapter 6, kind of midways there towards the end. Title, Be Merciful. And if we're going to be the kind of Christian that we need to be, we do have to surrender ourselves. We got to surrender our will and to replace it with God's will. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. Unfortunately, this old flesh likes a little bit of pride. It likes a little bit of selfishness, and it likes to feel good in the life that it leads. And so sometimes it's a real battle. I'm grateful we got an example, and Paul wrote it. He struggled with it just as well. And that's not to encourage us to, hey, you're struggling, don't worry about it, keep suffering, but to say that even one who wrote as much as Paul did and spread the gospel as great as he did still had struggles. And so it's comforting to know that we have people before us that were just as real and just as human as we are, and yet they persevered in their walk with Christ. And so that's what we want to do. We want to surrender ourselves to God's will and allow Him to lead and guide in our life, that we might be a blessing to others, and that we might see folks come to know Christ as their Savior. Amen. If you were here this past Wednesday night, we gave a little bit of testimony of handing out tracts at the Mardi Gras parade, and it was a fantastic time of sharing God's Word, and I had the opportunity to talk to a few different people, a couple of deputies, and was able to actually share the gospel, not just hand them a tract, and didn't take up too much of their time. I knew they were working, but there were two other young men that I got to talk to. And I'll refrain from saying their names right now. I can tell you later because I want you to pray for them. But these two guys, as we were talking, I spent 15 minutes on the corner talking to them. And the first thing they said was, oh, man, I'm glad you're here. We need to talk to you. We got questions. And as we got into the conversation, they told me that they were atheists. And that God, actually looking around and seeing everything that's taking place, they knew something wasn't right and actually felt that they needed to do Bible study. And they ordered themselves Bibles and had been digging into God's Word on their own. Boy, that is rare. That is very rare. But man, was it exciting. And so while they have not found the relationship with Christ yet that they need, they're well on their way and they got a whole lot more information in that 15 minutes. But praise the Lord, they're searching. And wouldn't to God more people be doing that? But you never know what you're going to run into if you just stop and talk to people. And the easiest way is to have a gospel tract handy. And it went from something as simple as we're out sharing the love of Christ into a 15-minute conversation about how you can have a relationship with Jesus and have a home in eternity. So again, remind me later, I'll tell you their names and because this is recorded, I don't want to put that out. But please be praying for these two gentlemen. As I was talking, there was a third gentleman on the side listening to everything that was being said. So I say all that just to go with surrender. Surrender. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. So let us pray one more time and we'll get into the message tonight. Father, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I do pray that you would speak through me, get the man out of the way. And God, that your words would ring clear and true. And Father, you penetrate our hearts and our mind, that we might transform our lives in the way that you would have it to be, God, even more so that we allow you to transform our lives into what you'd have them to be. Thank you for what you're doing, God, and we give you glory. Amen. Luke chapter 6, and you get down around 21 or so, maybe 20, and you'll start recognizing some of the things that are said. And this is Luke's recollection or his version of the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes through and he gives some of the same things that's written in Matthew, and yet it has his flair on it, his take, and just kind of a reminder that Luke was kind of writing more towards Christian believers anyway. And so he's got a little different flair as it is. Some folks like to say there's a contradiction because Matthew says it was up on the mountain and Luke says it was on a plain or on a level spot. And really, if you look a little before that, Luke says they went up to the mountain to pray and came down to a plain. So simply was a flat, level place somewhere on the mountain that they were able to sit down and talk. And as Jesus is talking to the multitude and teaching, he's looking at his disciples, and the message that he gives is going and directed toward his disciples. And in our life today, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, it should be our goal to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, one that's going to learn, and not only learn, but to take what you learn and go and share it and help somebody else to grow in Christ, to be a disciple. And so if the words he spoke were good for his disciples to hear, then it's just as well that we hear those same things. And of course, you know, he gives the blessings in the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, the ones that weep, and the ones that are hated for the sake of Christ. And, you know, we find that to be contradictory, especially to our human nature. We don't want to be poor. We don't want to be hungry. We don't like to cry, and we definitely don't like to be hated. That goes against our human desire, our fleshly desire. And yet Jesus says, blessed are you when you go through those things. And then he turns around, he says, woe to the ones that are rich, the ones that are full, the ones that laugh, and the ones that are well spoken of. Well, that's the things I would like. My flesh would desire to be rich. My flesh desires to be full. I desire to laugh. And I definitely like to be spoken well of. Nobody likes to be talked bad about. And yet Jesus said, woe to those things. That's because, again, they're contrary to what our human nature seeks. And so Jesus is wanting to form us into the kind of person that he would have us to be, and he's wanting his disciples to be transformed in what he would have them to do. And as I was looking at these things where he says, woe unto, I was couldn't help but be reminded of the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3. When he talked about the church of Laodicea, he said, you're full, or you think you're full. You think you have everything. You think you got clothes and riches. But in reality, you're poor, and you're wretched, and you're blind. And see, when our flesh is filled with the desires that it's had, we seemingly have no need for Jesus. We tend to leave him out of our life as we live in the comforts that we have. And so it's kind of hard to have all those wonderful comforts and still focus in and have a relationship with Christ. It's not impossible at all. And I'm not saying, oh, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be a poor, pathetic person. Not at all. What I'm saying is, though, is too many times as Christians we get comfortable in life and comfortable in the flesh that we miss out on what we're supposed to be doing and what God would have us to do. How many of you went somewhere else today besides your house? Don't answer that. I just think. Or maybe you went to a restaurant after church, just being filled with the Word of God. And how many of you shared the gospel with somebody at that restaurant? We get complacent sometimes. We get comfortable in the living. And if you did that, praise the Lord. But we ought to be sharing the gospel every chance we get. We ought to be sharing the love of Christ every chance we get. We ought to be willing to put our flesh to the side every chance we get so that we might live in the Spirit. But this church at Laodicea, the woes, it seems to be where the many of the churches we find ourselves today. They've been so filled with the high life that the mission of the church has been put on the back burner, and the function of the church has failed the lost. The world's in bad shape. We failed the lost. The church has failed. Christian has failed. So much so that there's churches that look just like the world. There's Christians that look and act just like the world. And God never intended for the church to emulate the world. Rather, we're to emulate Christ. Verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets. It was the ending of the woes in the verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despisefully use you. You know, as the church and as Christians, we have an enemy. Of course, we know that enemy is Satan, but understand when he's saying love your enemies here, he's not telling you to love Satan. He's telling you to love those that are contrary to God right now. In other words, seemingly the enemy is the lost. They're not in the same camp as the saved. They're on the other side. They're on the other team. And we're to love those folks. And we're to do it in such a way that rather than attack and to criticize and to destroy the enemy, that we're to love them and so that we can win them over to our side, to God's side. It's not my side, it's God's side. But the enemy of God, it's not about going and attacking and destroying. And yet so many times Christians are good about attacking and destroying. We're so willing to put somebody down for the wickedness that they live that we're not even willing to confess the sin in our own life. And maybe that's why we're so quick to criticize someone else, is so we can feel good about ourselves. But maybe we need to bring ourselves into consideration, get ourselves right. That way we can love the enemy that's out there, love the world, and that we might tell them the things they need to hear. And maybe they won't be counted as an enemy anymore. There's a lost world out there that the church has sought to befriend, rather than seeing them as contrary. Some have befriended the enemy so much that their church looks like an enemy camp. You wouldn't know that you were in a house of God for the way that all the behavior goes on. You're over siding with the enemy's camp. That was never God's intention. Never Christ's intention. Folks say, yeah, Christ came and he lived amongst the unruly and the wicked, absolutely. But he didn't live like them and he didn't act like them. He gave them truth. He gave them love. He showed them kindness and they asked for it. He forgave them. May that be something we emulate. We have an enemy that we should be seeking to make a fellow soldier, after they have enlisted into God's army. Amen? How different would this world be if we just loved a little bit better? I'm talking about loving like Jesus a little better. You know, the world's cried that for years. Oh, just love, 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 love. And there is some truth to that, amen, for God is love. And it goes beyond that, but too many times, we don't even love like we should be loving. And in loving, we have to be willing to tell the truth. We have to be willing to let someone know that if they don't receive Christ as their Savior, there is a judgment coming. We have to be willing to go out and tell. If we say we truly are loving folks, then we got to be willing to tell them that there's a problem, but there's also an answer. However, many of our church today have sought to avoid the enemy and sit comfortably within the four walls of the church building. And look out today, we see churches struggling. And why? Because we become complacent. Why is the truth not going where it needs to go? Because we're not giving it. Why are there so many flocking to churches that don't preach the truth? Because they're given something to make the people feel like they belong there. And don't get me wrong, if you're not born again, even if you're born again and you're walking in sin and you come into church and you hear the preaching and the Holy Spirit's convicting, maybe you ought to feel like you don't belong for the moment until you get right with God. Amen. We don't need to change the church that's preaching the Word of God to meet the needs of lost people if those needs are all fleshly. We don't have to entertain folks just to fill up a building. But we need to spread the word and let them hear. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Well, isn't that contrary to the flesh as well, to do good to someone that hates you? And bless them that curse you. Boy, somebody putting you down, the last thing you want to do is do something to bless them. They've hated you, they've put you down, they talk bad about you, and you go up and, I know you're going through troubles here. Let me help you. Let me bless you with whatever. That's contrary to the flesh, but that's not contrary to the spirit. And pray for those which despitefully use you. It's hard to pray for people that use us. It's hard to pray for people that hate us and despise us and talk bad about us. You know what goes along with those words? That verse, you could plug in forgiveness right in there. Because if you're going to do all those things to the ones that are your enemies or the ones that hate you or the ones that use you or the ones that are despicable to you, you have to plug in forgiveness there. Because if you're not willing to forgive, if you're not going to forgive, you'll never be able to love them the way they need to be loved. You'll never be able to bless them the way they need to be blessed. You'll never be able to pray for them the way they need to be prayed for. Forgiveness goes right in there. Maybe that's why we struggle with this so much. It's hard to love those because we got to forgive them. Oh, man. And then he said in 29, and to him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer the other also. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. The last thing I want to do if somebody slaps me is give them another cheek to hit. That's not natural at all. And then I love those super spiritual people that say, oh yeah, I turn that one cheek and they hit it and I turn the other one and it's hidden. After the third time, though, it's on. That's not God's intention. That's not God's intention at all. It's hard to turn our cheeks. I'm going to put it this way. You've been stabbed in the back by someone? Pull the knife out and hand it back to them and say, I forgive you. Man, I'm a bit quiet right now. As a Christian, there's going to be bumps and there's going to be bruises and even possibility more for the sake of Christ. You know, Christ, he went through all kind of stuff. They sought to kill him over and over and over and over. Ironically, it was church people that sought to kill him. The spiritual ones, so saying. But yet they sought to kill him over and over and over. Has anybody sought to kill you yet for walking with Christ? We've gotten spoiled in America. We're a bunch of spoiled little babies. We're not wanting to go out and do what God would have us to do. We think everything's okay. Oh, Jesus was treated harshly by the world. And so as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, we should not expect anything different. We shouldn't expect easy times all the time. We shouldn't expect everyone to be happy with us. We shouldn't expect everyone to talk good about it. Not if we're living the way we're supposed to, because we're going to live contrary to them. We're going to act contrary to them, and it's going to bring conviction to them. It ought to. If the way you're living is not bringing conviction to the lost, maybe check the way you're living. And I look in the mirror when I say that as well. Maybe it was one that hit me hard as I read verse 30. Read this one with me here. Give to every man that ask of thee, only if you judge what his intentions are, and then figure out that it's going to be good, hand it to him. Is that what your translation says? Not what mine says. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee. Wow. Through the years, I'd always like to speak good. Oh, if somebody asks me, I won't give them money. I'll go give them food and hand it to them because I don't know what they're going to do with the money. Guess what? It's not my business. Jesus told his disciples to give to every man that asks of thee. If they're asking, give it. It doesn't matter what they do with it. It's not your responsibility. You know what your responsibility is? To love them. To be kind, to share the gospel with them. Take that moment to, if nothing else, hand the gospel tract with what money they're asking for. How much money is the right amount? Whatever God tells you to do. But it's not your place, Christian, to judge what they might do with it. What is your place is to tell them about Jesus and then trust God to take it from there. of him that take away thy goods, ask him not again. You know, there's going to be folks that use us. They may take things from us. But it's God that's given it anyway. It's God that provided. And let God be the judge. And some of that's tough to swallow. It's really tough to swallow. But if I'm going to be the disciple I need to be, if I'm going to be the follower I profess to be, then I need to fall in line with what God says. Now, don't you know I was tested today? I was tested today. We went to Sam's to fill up. And standing on, you won't believe what was standing on the corner. A lady asking for money. no sooner that I'm doing this study and preparing the last few days, that God puts to test what's in his word. So, Brother David, did you give her money? Yeah. With a gospel tract. Had a line of people behind me, couldn't really talk to her. I'm not doing it to toot my horn. What I'm saying is God convicted me of my prideful attitude towards the lost. Swallow that pill. Verse 31, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And the whole part of this is the way you want to be treated. Treat others that way. And even if they don't treat you that way, still treat them the way you want to be treated. That's simple. We always like to call that the golden rule, right? Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. There's a lot of truth to that, though. If I'm going to be who I need to be for Christ, then I want to treat them the same way I want to be treated. I want to be loved. I want to be blessed. I want people to be kind to me and talk good about me. I want people to help me when I'm in need. When I'm hurting, I want to be consoled. When I'm down and out of luck, I want somebody to look down and say, hey, let me help lift you up. I desire those things. And so if I desire those things, then I need to share those same things with everyone else. Why? Because Jesus said to. Jesus said to. There's a lot of lost and hurting and lonely people all around us that need to hear that there's a God that loves them and cares for them. They need to see it. And the only one they're going to see it is if we're showing it. The only way they're going to hear it is if we're telling it. As I walk down that parade route, I come across another young lady that I knew. I'm coaching softball from Little League. And she looked so lonely and hurting inside. And as I passed by, it took me a second to recognize her. I walked by, seeing her corner of my eye. I stopped, called her by name, and she looked at me. She said, yes, sir. And so I stopped and prayed with her. I don't know what all her needs were in that moment, but I know she needed somebody to love her. It was written all over her. And there's people all over around us just like that. They're just waiting for someone to reach out and love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners do the same. And if you lend to those, if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. What so Jesus is saying is that if you're doing good to those who do good to you, big deal. And if you lend to those who lend unto you, big deal. The lost do the same things, and you're doing nothing different than what the lost would do. But if you want to do something different, then you do that to the lost, to the enemy, to the world, and you treat them in that manner and love them in that manner, then it's going to make a difference. Then when you behave that way, there'll be a reward. Whether it's your reward or their reward, it's a reward. And maybe just peradventure, if you're doing that, it's going to be their reward when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can't think of any greater reward in heaven than to see somebody up there that I was able to share the gospel with. I can't think of anything better. And I know we're promised things like gold, silver, and precious stones, and we're promised crowns, and there's all kind of rewards waiting, and there's a mansion waiting, and within God's house are many mansions and all those wonderful things, and I'm looking forward to it. But the thing that's going to be the best is when someone comes up to you and says, because of you, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm here today. That right there is going to make all the difference, and there's no greater treasure. What's the greatest treasure in the world? Leading someone to Christ. You can work all your life you want, have the biggest bank account you want. What's going to happen when you're dead? Somebody else is going to spend your money and your hard work. Probably your little snotty grandkids that didn't deserve it. But isn't it true? We spend all our lives working to gain all this stuff. For what? To take the time to go out and lead somebody to Christ and change their eternity and then spend eternity with them. That's gold. That's precious stones. Oh, mercy. Folks, we need to get it right. We need to get it right. 35, but love your enemies and do good. He sums it up. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. When you do those things, God said your reward is going to be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. It's not your work. You're just going to be reflected, and people are going to see that you're the children of the highest when you behave these ways. And here's another little kicker right here. For he is kind unto the thankful and the evil. Who's kind to them? God is. God's kind to the unthankful and the evil. How about you? You've been kind to the unthankful and evil? Or did you turn that nose up because they were unthankful and evil? All I got to do is mention the politician's name. I'll find out exactly what you think about evil. And I'm just as guilty. That doesn't make it right. God's kind unto them. God's goodness is to them. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. And if they're going to see their need, again, it's got to be us that reflects it and shows it and tells it. And if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, there's no wonder the world around us is hurting. And because of all these things, in verse 36, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And you know what goes along with merciful? That other F word again, forgiveness. If we're going to be merciful, then that's going to involve forgiveness. And that's going to involve love, unconditional love. It's going to involve some charity. But it's going to be a reflection of what's in us. And I want to leave this with you tonight. And I may have said it before or not, I don't know. But if I did, bear with me. The story of a young soldier that was to be put to death for failing to do his duties. And it's been attributed to Napoleon, and how true that is, I don't know. Google has it, so it must be true. It's been attributed to Napoleon. One of his young soldiers was to be executed, failing his duties. The mother goes up to Napoleon. "Sir, please have mercy on my son." And to which he replies, "He doesn't deserve mercy. Failed in his duties. He doesn't deserve mercy." And with her humble heart, she said, "Sir, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." There's people all around us that you can look at and say, "You don't deserve it." And it might be true. But it's not about deserving. It's about remembering how God was merciful to us. And someone share the gospel with us that we might be merciful to others.